As we remain standing, let's bow our heads for a short prayer. Jesus, faithful friend and true, as we sung a few moments ago, we pray that in your faithfulness you will draw close to us now and open your word to our hearts and minds afresh, as you did Thomas all those many centuries ago. We pray in your name. Amen. Please do be seated. Just a reminder that Andrew, our new curate, and Dawn, his wife, will join us in June. Do please pray for them as they prepare to move to Ipswich. And do please pray for a house, because it would be quite useful for somewhere for them to live. So pray for the diocese as they look for somewhere. We come to the end of our present series on themes that came out during our Who Cares missional activity last term. We've still got a couple more Lent Wednesday evenings to go, but doubt is a strange one to finish on, isn't it? But doubt is what we're thinking about this morning, and hopefully there'll be a picture, thank you Phil, on the screen. Lord Halifax was a Foreign Secretary of Great Britain a while ago and once shared a railway carriage with two very prim-looking spinsters. A few moments before reaching his destination, the train passed through a tunnel, and in utter darkness, Halifax kissed the back of his hand noisily several times. When the train drew into the station, he rose, he lifted his hat, and in a gentlemanly way said, May I thank whichever one of you two ladies I'm indebted to for the charming incident in the tunnel. He then beat a hasty retreat, leaving the two ladies glaring at one another. I bet there was some doubt as to exactly what had happened during that incident in the tunnel. In a Peanuts cartoon strip, Charlie Brown was talking with Lucy as they walked home on the last day of school. Charlie Brown says to Lucy, "I got straight A's, isn't that great?" Lucy, in her typical fashion, shoots down poor Charlie Brown and says, "I don't believe you, Charlie Brown. Unless you show me your report card, I will not believe you." Can you relate to, maybe not Halifax, relate to Lucy, maybe? Seeing is believing, isn't it? Well, I wonder, have you ever felt like you missed something big that everyone else seems to know about? Have you ever felt like you were not spiritually enough because of your past failures? Have you felt like you could really believe more in Jesus if only you could just catch a glimpse of him? If you've ever felt anything like that, you would be in good company, because we've just heard of Thomas. And do have a Bible open if you've got a Bible, as we look at Thomas now this morning. And although it seems strange to look at Easter when we've not actually got there yet, this was the reading as we look at doubt, and a very good one too. Because everybody, if we're honest, I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, we go through doubts in our faith from time to time. This lady, we all recognize her face. Mother Teresa had her doubts, would you believe? She once wrote to her spiritual director these words: "Where I try to raise my thoughts to heaven, there is such convicting emptiness that those whose very thoughts return like sharp knives and hurt my very soul. Love, the word, it brings nothing. I am told God lives in me, and yet the reality of darkness and coldness and emptiness is so great that nothing touches my soul." Here's a great woman of faith being extremely honest about some time in her life when she faced the darkness, the similar kind of darkness to Thomas. Her spiritual director reassured her with a very basic message. He said, "The fact that you have doubts means that your faith is real." I take great encouragement from that. Everyone has doubts, from the children, young people, to ourselves. And actually, if you think about it and mull it over as you listen to me, they're quite good for us, because they drive you back to the risen Jesus, don't they? There's lots of pictures if you Google Thomas, and this one came up, and I thought it maybe expressed his surprise, his shock, his belief, renewed belief. He gets a bad deal, doesn't he, Thomas, and reputation for his doubts, even earning, as we know, the nickname Doubting Thomas. Yet, Thomas was just as committed as the other 10 disciples, perhaps even more so in some ways. Think back, if you know your gospel stories, just a few days or weeks before that first Palm Sunday, Jesus told his disciples that he had to go to Bethany because his friend Lazarus was very sick. Bethany was somewhere Jesus went to a lot to stay with his friends. Most of the disciples cautioned him away from the idea because of all the hatred that was building up towards him in the Jewish authorities, fuming in nearby Jerusalem. Yet Thomas responded in John 11, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." That's the Thomas who we've just read about when Kay shared that reading. Yes, Thomas had his gutsy moments. But by the time Jesus went to the cross, Thomas, along with every other disciple, except John as far as we know, had scattered to the four winds. They were all cowering in fear and self-preservation, probably like I would have done. On that first Easter morning, the two Marys encountered the risen Lord, as did Peter, as did John. Then on Sunday night, 10 of the disciples met Jesus face to face. Jesus spoke to their doubts as he showed them his hands and his side, proving to them that it was really him. But where was Thomas? Well, we don't know for sure, but can you imagine the shock he got when the others pouring out of them, "We've seen him, he's alive." Thomas replied, "Show me," just like Lucy to Charlie Brown. So let's think about Thomas as example this morning briefly as we go through our own personal times of doubt, as we all do. How can you overcome, defeat's too strong a word, how can you overcome your doubts? Well, I put that picture up. That's an African Thomas appearing to an African Jesus, which I thought would be good to reflect upon. If you don't want to look at me, you can look at the picture and imagine as different cultures see this picture. But firstly, first of three things I want us to think about: guard in your low times. And believe me, if we're all honest again, we all have those. When you're really down, don't make any rash decisions. Don't go out and buy a car or decide to move. Give yourself some time to get through the low times before you act impulsively. And so it is, I think, with doubts. Don't give in to them in the midst of, say, I don't know, your depression. Just recognize them for what they are. They are doubts. Okay, you have doubts. It's normal. That means you have faith, as Mother Teresa's spiritual director wisely advised her. Your faith is more than your doubts, with Jesus, gentle friend and true, beside you. Thomas was certainly in a bit of a downtime. His Lord had been crucified. His life was in jeopardy, to say the least, and his hopes were totally dashed to bits. Maybe that's why he was away, just grieving by himself. We don't know for sure, but fortunately, he did not do anything rash. Eventually, he returned to be with his friends, his fellow disciples, which reminds us of the second doubt defeater, if you want to call it. Firstly, guard in your low times. Secondly, draw strength from others. Now, we're lower on the ground because of the temperature today, but folks, draw strength from each other. It was when Thomas was away that his doubts held sway. That's not supposed to rhyme, but it does. Isolation magnified those doubts. He missed Jesus' visit because he'd left his fellow believers. Nicky Gumbel says on the Alpha Course, "Separate a coal from the rest of the fire, and you know what I'm going to say, it loses its redness at heat and it goes cold." We need to be with each other. When you feel least like going to church, that's when you need to be there the most, dare I say. When you most want to hide away at home, that's when you need to force yourself to go out and to be with your fellow Christians, because together we are the body of Christ. And when one hurts, the whole body hurts. When one celebrates, the whole body celebrates. Now, if we all came every week, this church would be full. But sadly, we don't all make it every week. But whoever's here today, they are your brothers and sisters. Find encouragement from them. Share encouragements from God this week, one with another. Because where two or more are gathered, we're told the truth. Jesus is in their midst. If you look at the post-resurrection appearances, Jesus almost always appeared to groups of people, not just individuals. Peter and John, the two friends on the road to Emmaus, the 10 disciples, a week later the 11 disciples, including Thomas. Later, 500 people at once, 120 folk gathered at Pentecost. Jesus seems to honour groups. We need to fight off the doubts by being with each other. Guard in your low times, draw strength from others. And thirdly, to defeat doubts, meet the risen Jesus. That's what did it for Thomas, who then fell on the ground proclaiming, "My Lord and my God." Scripture indicates he didn't need to touch Jesus' scars, hands or side. For him, seeing was believing. As it was for all those other eyewitnesses at that time. Another picture for you to look at. One argument for the certainty of the resurrection is that these people talked about it and wrote about it and even died for it, for their beliefs. This time in history that we're looking at was a very dangerous time to express your faith in Jesus Christ. With a very hostile, distrusting Roman government and a very cunning and protective Jewish establishment and religious elite, all but one of those disciples, as far as we know, would end up a martyr, proclaiming the risen Jesus with their very last breath. I wonder if you've come across this guy, Lee Strobel. He is by trade a lawyer and an investigative journalist. And according to him, two of the most skeptical careers in the world. And as a devout atheist, he set out to disprove Christ's existence, to disprove his fiancée's Christian faith, the evidence that Christ actually rose from the dead. Through his research, he ended up becoming a devout believer and follower of Jesus, proclaiming these words, "It would take more faith for me to remain an atheist than to believe." I bet his fiance was over the moon. He wrote a book which has just been turned into a film, very recent film, The Case for Christ. If you see it, I'm not sure where Penny's got it. You've got it in CLC, so we'll rush up there tomorrow and get it. In it, he talks about how people no doubt will lie, but people will not give their life for a lie. Yet each of those disciples went to their death proclaiming Jesus has risen. Proof? I would say so. So what about us? Jesus speaks directly to you and me in verse 29 of that passage, if you have it there, when he says, "Because you have seen me," speaking to his disciples, "you've believed. Blessed are those," Jesus says, "who have not seen yet have believed." Folks, that's us. Isn't that the essence of true faith? To believe without seeing. Someday we won't need faith. We won't need it anymore because we'll all behold him face to face. But until then, we put our hope in the risen Jesus, in the risen Lord, even though we don't have all the answers, and we never will have. And we trust that in the future, he will reveal the answers to us, or either it just won't matter anymore. Meanwhile, God gives us evidence of his existence every day. We hear him speak to our thoughts as we read his word. We see his beauty in the creation, even when we left the concert last night, covered in snow, the beauty of God's creation. And his love, too, through the kind hand of friend or spouse or partner. We see his redemptive work as someone discovers hope in a new way, or meaning or peace in a new way. We see his faithfulness day after day as we know we do not walk this life alone. Jesus, faithful, friend, and true, as we sung earlier. And we are motivated, or should be, by others, following their faith. If Mother Teresa can think that, then I'm allowed to, and so are you, because it's part of our journey of faith. We think of saints such as that lady, who persisted even in the midst of doubts. And consider Thomas himself, who, tradition tells us, would later help spread the gospel, I think it was to India, where he would eventually give his life for his Lord and his God. And so we resonate with the words of the Apostle Peter, no doubt recalling that upper room particular event when Thomas got his wishes to see his risen Lord and friend. Many years later, Peter would write to young believers with these words in 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's said to you and me, folks, today, as we journey on in our faith. So have you ever had any doubts during exams, during a sports event, during whatever it may be, during your Christian life? I'll stick that up there because faith is greater than doubt. And one final little story to finish this morning, as we remember what we've been thinking about, as we remember that we are to guard in our low times, we are to draw strength from one another, and we are to meet, determined to meet the risen Lord in the scriptures, in prayer, when he comes and meets us. The story is told of one tribe of Native Americans who had a unique practice for training their young braves. On the night of a boy's 13th birthday, he was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night there alone. Until then, he had never been away from the security of his family or his tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken miles away. And when he took off his blindfold, he was in the middle of thick woods by himself all night long. Every time, imagine, a twig snapped, he probably visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. Every time an animal howled, he imagined a wolf leaping out at him in the darkness. Every time the wind blew, you can imagine how he felt. Every sinister sound made a terrifying feeling within inside of him. What a night to endure. And after what seemed like an eternity, the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest. Imagine it in your mind's eye. Looking around, the boy saw flowers and trees and the outline of the path. And then, to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few yards away, armed with a bow and an arrow. It was the boy's father. He'd been there all night long. How many times do we doubt God? How many times do we doubt his word? Even through all of our doubts, trust, folks, believe that our God stands right next to us, whatever it is that we're journeying through, watching out for his beloved child. Came across this little rhyme Doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars high. Doubt questions who believes. Faith answers I. As we sit, may we bow our heads to pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Thomas, our brother in Jesus, a real guy who had real doubts and wanted evidence over blind faith. Jesus, thank you that you met him right where he was, and thank you that you do the same for each of us. Help us to take care when we're feeling down, to surround ourselves with loving believers, and to bring our doubts to you, the risen Lord, knowing that you are more sufficient in all our ways, and that you, like that Father, stand alongside us, protecting us in our dark and doubting times. To you be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.